Just going to bring a quick thought. We need to be finished within the hour. And just let me just... Has Esther took my notes away as some kind of joke? Esther, that's sick. You've got my notes, I think, Esther. No, we haven't. Let me have a look. I'm blaming you, Esther, and it's... I've lost my notes. Is that good news or bad news? I don't really need them. So, yeah, I have to now. You know, so this garden theme is a very important theme in Scripture. And the whole story of God's involvement with the human race began in a garden created for man's pleasure. Because man was given stewardship, that meant care over the garden. And we live in a world that's portrayed this God as some kind of killjoy, who doesn't want the best for us. But the Bible says that when he created you and me, he was pleased with his creation. Now, what anybody else thinks about you, God is pleased with you. And he loves you and you're special to him. He may not be pleased with some of the decisions you've made and some of the behaviour you've exhibited. But the Bible begins by saying that God is pleased with you. And so he created Adam in this garden. And like a child, there was a sense of innocence. And we're all so angry when innocence is taken from children through abuse. We say there's an injustice there. Why has somebody introduced evil to children? And I love to see young children in that innocence. I've got three wonderful grandchildren. Nobody's taught them how to be naughty. That's come natural. But there's still an innocence. They have a nature to be naughty, but they're an innocence. And I found it amazing that 2 days ago Linda was down in Chelmsford with my two grandchildren, and there they are running about naked in the paddling pool because it was the first sunny day of the year. And there's something very special about that innocence. And I wouldn't want to run about naked in a paddling pool today. Amen, brother. But there's something very special about this innocence. So when you read this story in the Garden of Eden, just relate it to everyday life of children running about in innocence. And a mum and a dad, because God is both male and female, a mum and dad who cares and provides everything. And this God said, look, if you want to keep innocent, you don't need to know the difference between good and evil. Just avoid evil. And children, before they recognise, that's why they trust everybody. They live in an evil world, but they're protected from an evil world by their parents. And at some stage, God said to Adam, he says, look, do what you want in the garden. I'm giving it to you. It's for your pleasure. But there is just one tree I don't want you to touch. Because if you touch that tree, you'll become like me. You will know the difference between good and evil. I'm glad my grandchildren do not know the difference between good and evil. I know it because I keep telling them not to do certain things. I'm fearful for their well-being, but they don't wreck danger of the world. They're still innocent. And then the devil comes along, and he's very, very subtle. And he brings into dispute the nature of God. He begins to distort the nature of God from somebody who loves you and cares for you and wants the best for you to a killjoy. And that's happened today, because if you say to many people in society, what's the church about? Those people in society will say, oh, the church tells you what you can't do. It's about the killjoys, the boring, the no, no, no. So you've still got this distortion today. And all God says, don't eat one, but the devil says, any. And so we know the story. Innocence is shattered. And so Adam and Eve are sent out of the garden. Because once sin enters to the world, it corrupts. And there's people here who have done things wrong, and your choices have harmed other people. There are people here who have been harmed by other people. And you've got that harm you've done, and you've got that harm you've done, and this world is no longer paradise. It's no longer perfect. And so Adam and Eve have to leave heaven, because it's no longer perfect if they stay in there, and there's a guard, it says in the Word of God. But God still loves Adam and Eve. He's really disappointed with the choices that they've made, but Adam and Eve are sent out of the garden. Because Adam and Eve said to God, "My will first, not yours." And so when you read the Bible, that story of Adam and Eve is in Genesis, right at the very, very beginning. And basically, if you want to know what the Bible contains between Genesis and the cross, it's God talking to human beings, saying, "You're worth more. Come back to me and live as I want you to live so I can bless you." That's all it's about. And by the time we get to 2,000 years ago, God realises that man can't sort himself out. He tries to be good. He tries to live by rules. He tries to live by regulations. And the Bible says, "For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." And so God sends Jesus. And Jesus is God. And as I've often said, I've got Andy here. "Andy, I can't hit you because of coronavirus, because that means I've got to keep 2 metres from him. But if I hit Andy, then Liz can't say, 'You're forgiven for hitting my husband.' There's only Andy can choose to forgive me." And that's why Jesus became God, because we sin against God, and God dying for you and dying for me is God taking on your mistakes. And so we go to the next garden. We go to this garden in Gethsemane. And Jesus in his prayer says these words. He says, "If there's any other way." And the world tries every other way. It tries being really, really sorrowful. It tries by getting right with God, by doing really, really good works. Some people even try by even committing suicide. They say, "It's all so broken, I'm going to do myself in." And Jesus says, "There is no other way." And that's the Easter story. There's no other way to get right with God. And so that's in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus prays. And in the end, he says the complete opposite to Adam. Because Adam said, "Not your way, God, my way." And Jesus says, "Your way, God, not mine." And so he ends up 3 days later on a cross. And on that cross, he's nailed out. And the thief next to him, recognizing that Jesus is innocent. If Jesus had been sinful himself, then he would be being punished for his sin. But this Jesus is innocent. And one of the criminals, like today, I'm going to tell you that if you become a Christian, you're going to be laughed at, and some people will think you've lost it. And one thief is mocking Jesus. In the last moments of his life, he mocks Jesus. And the other thief looks at it, and he says, "There's something not right here. I recognise I've messed up." And he looks on the cross and he says, "This man's innocent, but I'm guilty." And that's how you become a Christian. Everybody wants to make it really complicated. Everybody wants to do rituals and rigmarole. But you become a Christian like the thief on the cross. And that's the Easter message, the simplicity of it, that gets lost in the church. And he looks at him and he recognises Jesus for who he is. And he recognises himself for who he is. And so he dares to hope. He dares to hope that this Jesus might know him. And he turns round to him And he says, Jesus, remember me. That's all. That's what I said when I became a Christian. Look, I've messed up. But I'm daring to believe that you are who you say. I'm confused about how I fit in. But I have discovered that you are who you are, Jesus. It's about you, it's not about me. And he says, remember me. And Jesus says to him, today. Today you will be in paradise. Today you will be back in my garden, the Garden of Eden. And paradise was always a world. You Google this lot if you doubt what I'm saying. Check me out, because I might be a nutter telling you lies. Check out the origins of the word paradise. It's a walled garden of restricted entrance. And what Jesus is saying is, you can only get into the restricted paradise through me. Heaven's available for everybody, but not everybody's going to get in there. The only ones who get in there are the ones who say to Jesus, Jesus, remember me. And he turns around and he says to him, he says, today. No purgatory. No mumbo jumbo. Today, right now, you will be in that paradise with me. And that's the third garden of Easter. And then it comes full circle. The disciples had never seen anybody come back to life again. They're confused. As far as they're concerned, what we call Good Friday for them was Black Friday. It was Bad Friday. Because it was all over for them. And they end up going back to the garden again. Because we're told in the scriptures that the tomb was in a garden. And Mary, who thought that her God had gone, her Jesus had gone, with tears in her eyes, turned round and recognised Jesus. Now I want to tell you this, that you can go to Kaddish today and you can see the tomb of Buddha. He's still in it. If you want to become a Buddhist and think you can sort it out by some refined lifestyle, then go and see Buddha's grave, because it never worked for Buddha, is still in it. If you think you can sort it all out by keeping the law and have loads and loads of room, that's one way of thinking about God. Well, go to Mecca and go and see the tomb in Mecca, because Muhammad, who makes all the rules, is still in it. And if you think all this lot in life can be sorted out by the social services or the government, and I'm not being political now, then go to Moscow now and look at Lenin's tomb. And do you know, he's still in it and you can see him. But if you go to Jerusalem, there's no tomb. Because this Jesus Christ only borrowed it. He didn't need it. And the very last words that Jesus says to Mary is, go and tell the others I've risen. And that's all we want to tell you this morning at London Road Baptist Church. That's all I want to tell you. That's all Ray and the musicians want to tell you. That's all what Esther wants to tell you. That's why Phyllis is an Amy do the notices every week. That's why Fox for the last year has put our services online. And that's why so many have worked so hard. Because we're simply people that want to tell you that Jesus Christ has risen. It's not a fairy story. And he can become your God like he can become my God, like he became Mary's God. And that's the garden story of Easter, and I hope you've got something from it. We're going to come to an end now. We've got to finish at 11. Half 11. Doesn't time fly when you're enjoying yourself? And Ray's going to bring our next song, which sums it all up, really. The price is paid, and then Liz's got, Mel's going to come and bring a